With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 545, the not necessarily the box office report for the week ending July 26, 2020.
It is a palindrome.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Oh, I thought, like, what I just said was a palindrome.
Yeah, say that whole thing backwards.
Okay. Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish. Wow, it is.
Isn't that amazing?
Paul's not dead.
I've been waiting for this exact moment.
How have I never noticed
that?
That's
one of my favorite SNL skits. Is the Farley doing the awful interview with Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
And he's like,
the backwards.
Is that true? Like, when they do that? And he goes, no. Oh, okay. I just thought I'd check.
Oh, it's fascinating.
So what is a palindrome?
It's the numbers are...
No, but what are we talking about that's a palindrome?
It's episode 545.
Oh, the episode number. I thought you were talking about the date, and I was just like, what?
No.
Sorry, I've been sick.
Yeah, it's all right. It happens.
Oh, we knew.
Oh, you mean physically?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yes. I had a 103 fever on Friday.
That's a brain boiler.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Use these Lysols on the equipment?
I never sit at a different mic, so you're safe. It was weird. It came on so fast. I was at work, and it was at like 3:30, and just all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm really cold, and I can't stop shaking.
Oh, man.
And,
well, 330 degrees is a really high temperature. Like, you should
check that out.
And so we've been making ice all week in the building.
Oh,
and,
what do you have?
We had motorcycles on ice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is there singing and dancing?
No.
Oh,
are there flips?
No.
All right.
Go and do a flip between the ramps and stuff?
No. How would they land on the ice?
Other
like
ramps.
Like a boss. That's how
they go
land.
On a ramp and then they land on the other ramp. Like
no,
a lot
they,
of times. No.
They
this is just
go
oh,
around
racing.
Circle,
basically.
They race in circles.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. Didn't realize that's okay.
Yeah.
It's you can tell who watched Jackass a lot as a kid.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. This is Joe Battisti. Yeah. This is motorcycle flips on ice.
Welcome to Jackass.
but so we're making ice, and so I've been cold all week. Sure. But I'm like, this is a different kind of cold.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I'm going home. I just got up and walked out. I'm like, I'm going home. I don't feel good. And then so I came home and I went straight to bed.
Yeah.
And like
900 blankets.
900 blankets and jeans and a hoodie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And my wife comes home and she's just like, what the hell? She's like, it worked out well because she brought home groceries and she was going to be mad. And then it was
sure.
And then she like, I'm like, I don't feel good. And she, to decide whether or not she's going to be mad, she goes and gets the thermostat.
She checked. Okay, you're safe.
All right.
And it was 103, and I was like, oh, thank God, I'm not in trouble.
But I feel like death.
I'm
number
just
one
sick.
Concern.
Yeah.
Number two, I might die. Number one, Crystal's not mad at me.
Yeah. So.
Just a bug?
I guess.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Know. I had it yesterday, too, so all this right. morning I've been feeling a lot better. So,
good. Did you take any medicine?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, her name's Crystal.
That's
so
true. Yeah,
I just have
fair.
All those crystals.
Oh, just waiting for
you. Don't
you
need medicine.
Yeah.
You have crystals.
Sure.
Salt lamps.
Yeah.
Goop.
That ugh, gross.
Are they goop crystals?
Yeah.
As long as they don't smell like a vagina.
Well,
I guess that's true.
Like, you are what you eat.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That happened to
still
me.
Can't reach the maracas. I don't know why I don't put them in the middle so I can reach them, but
that
I'm way
to
too lazy to.
One time. Where I was just like,
that you one
time? No. Like 104 degrees. Like, no
wonder you, back up because
no wonder you had marijuana.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Only one time.
Just once.
Right. Oh, it all makes sense now.
Yeah. I remember coming home and like the gal I was seeing at the time worked in a hospital and she was like, are you all right? And I was like, nope. Something's definitely wrong.
Yeah.
Took my temperature, 104. She calls a friend of hers. She's like, give him like 4 ibuprofen. And if his temperature doesn't drop, take him to the hospital
that's
immediately.
That's dangerous. Like, up to high 104 to 105 is like...
Yeah, I that's where your brain starts melting. To boil. Yeah.
It's like, and when you hit 105, sell.
Oh, you're gonna.
Yeah.
That's your wife on the insurance policy.
Yeah. So I remember sitting on the... We had like a big microfiber couch, and at one, I must have fallen asleep, and the fever broke while I was asleep. So then I was just like drenched in sweat, but it was all like... I could stand up, and I was like, oh, that's where I was sitting.
Dark on the microfiber, yeah.
Right. She was like, you smell bad. I was like, yeah, I totally agree with you. I look like death. I smell like butthole. This is the worst.
But now you have your own candle with goop.
I do, yeah. So now you can't tell.
Yeah. All's well that ends well.
Yeah, that's right.
So shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, you should subscribe so you never miss an episode. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page and join the group, which is called the League of Show Shares. People who were kind enough to share the show this week, in a rare occurrence.
What happened?
Joe Batista.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
Huh? I did. Joined the League of Show Shares.
What's it?
Do you listen yet?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy?
I did listen. I just saw Doolittle just popped up. I just saw it pop up today, but your Bad Boys episode was really good.
Yeah,
good job.
So I think you're the first cast member to be in the league.
Because that's rare to not be on it, but share it and then be on the next.
That's what I do.
So there you go.
Support the brand, man.
The Brad Hyen rule doesn't always work against you.
It doesn't. That's true.
Brad.
That's the only way you can get to be a shout out.
That's right.
See, he's just so negative.
He's always so negative. Well, when Kevin starts sending him to like decent movies, maybe he won't be so negative.
He went to the gentleman.
Yeah, that's true.
I stand by my statement. Or I stand by your statement.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Sneak preview.
Yeah.
So other people who were kind enough to share the show, Librarian Cynthia, Griffin Fox Smith, Lane LeVanway, Ralph Tribble, Gabriel Lugo, Tom Comiskey, Travis Tewitt, Chris Sanders, Douglas Bulduck, Chris Williams, Jason Weese, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brent Smith, Susan Carlson, Carl Clarkson, Aaron Marlowe, Julianne Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Ron Johnson, Richard Lawson, and Laura Conley Quiddick. So thank you very much for supporting the show like that. We greatly appreciate it. And if you would like to support the show even more, do we have a deal for you? Patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and you get to help us out a little bit, which is greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
Joe did a great interview.
Oh, thank you.
You should post it sometime.
Yeah, I will. But yeah, there's the most recent episode is the interview that Joe did. What was the guy's name?
Bob Quinn.
Bob Quinn. Because he has like, he's like Robert Quinn,
Q,
Bob Q.
Q.
He goes by different names. But yeah, really fun guy. What a great, just a personality. Like, if you're going to interview someone, you want him to be, you know, talkative and funny. And he went really well with our format.
He did. Yeah, he was a lot of fun to talk to.
Yeah.
He's if you feel like supporting him and you're not on the Patreon, at least go pick up some of his stuff. He did a James Bond comic with Jeff Parker. He's on Red Sonja now. There's a Lone Ranger comic out there that he did. So go support that guy.
Awesome. And that's all of that.
Cool. This is Kevin.
Oh, yeah, we should introduce ourselves.
Not going to let you ruin
it.
You try every week now to ruin the streak for some reason.
Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. I had a fever.
That's true.
Cut me some slack. Crystal didn't get mad at me. I didn't bring in the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
This seems much.
Go get the thermometer, and then we'll talk.
This seems much less significant.
Go get the thermostat.
Yeah, the thermostat. I couldn't think of it.
It was the fever.
Maybe my
it just erased that part of your brain.
Yeah. I'm just like, I know they don't put a thermostat in you.
They have to install a Nest 3.
Right.
We had to go out and buy, because the little one, the 3-year-old will not take, they get a number 2. So we had to buy one of those, like, head reader
forehead,
ones.
Yeah, that's what we have.
Golly.
Every time she walks by me, she's just sitting on the coffee table and she just picks it up and like.
I'm just checking.
Yeah.
Drive by.
They're easier anyway.
They are.
It's not worth the fight.
No, that's, you're very true. Yes.
How you used to do it was if the kid wouldn't put the thermometer in their mouth, you just go and buy a rectal thermometer.
Oh God,
that'll teach them.
And then you just show them you can put it in your mouth, or we can use this one.
Yeah.
Suddenly the mouth one works.
We were armpit. We did armpit for a while with the oldest because she was the same way. She's like, no, she would do it and then she'd take it out and get tired. So I'm just gonna bear hug you and we'll just make sure we get this thing set.
No means no, Joe.
I agree when I'm trying to figure out, you know, if you have a fever or not, if I'm taking you to the doctor because you're running 102 degree fever.
So do we have news stories?
We do.
Okay.
So, Joe, you may have seen that quite a few Hulu animated shows were canceled.
Were they animated? Everything was animated?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was all supposed to be part of a shared universe. So Kevin Smith was in charge of the Howard the Duck cartoon, which sounded like, you know, he would lend a really good sense of humor to that. There were four shows, and then just now it was Howard the Duck and Tigra and Dazzler. Tigra and Dazzler.
Yeah. Was Tigra and Dazzler, was that a team-up show, or were those two separate shows?
Team-up.
That's a weird, like, that. So, okay, so Tigra is an Avenger. Hmm. Dazzler, obviously, is an X-Men, for whatever reason. I don't know. That was a character I never understood.
Because they were
ever
trying to make it a thing?
Yeah. They tried. They tried.
That book was like forever on the quarter bin.
Yep. As well it should be.
Yeah.
She's a worthless character.
Yeah.
Like, you know. But that's a weird team up of people.
Yeah.
To put together. I don't know.
But, I mean, they obviously had some idea, and it's sad that, you know, all these people, like, they've been working on scripts. I mean, they were in development, and they're just not moving forward probably with the animation part of it. But, you know, all the storyboarding and the scripts and the meetings. And Kevin Smith said, you know, we got paid, so we're not. but he's like,
I think you have to reach a point in your career and just go, well, we got paid.
So. He said, we came to make a TV show, though, so it's sad, but we did get paid for it. It's just those two.
Yeah.
So MODOK and Hitmonkey are still for now, but, you know, they canceled two.
MODOK just added a bunch of cast.
Okay.
Like, I think it was like, I don't know, but they added like five or six cast members to that show. So I feel like that's got to be moving forward. The Hitmonkey, I haven't heard. It's also, what are you doing? What are you doing with these characters? You know, like, do I want a MODOK TV show? No. Do I want a Hitmonkey TV show? Absolutely not.
I don't know. You didn't think you wanted a Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yeah, but. Yeah, that's true.
They're trying to take properties like Guardians because people don't know them, and if they can make them mainstream and popular, then they can put stuff in movies, and then they can, you know, it's that this is a great stepping stone to put a Hulu original TV show, and it's like, wow, if that works. So it was Marvel's decision, which, you know, the thing is, they just spent a ton of money on Fox, so Disney and Marvel are getting really tight with their wallets. You know, like the other news, the Star Wars news, but it's like they're not messing around. If they don't think something's up to quality, they're not going to keep pumping money into it. But anyway, so they were supposed to all come. The four shows were supposed to come together for the Offenders, which would be like an Avengers style team up,
or the Defenders.
Yeah, but this is all like a raunchy adult style team up. So we'll see what happens with the other two. I'm not sure if they will.
Well, if they went that route, then Dazzler could work. Like if Dazzler was like a, because she was like a pop star.
Yeah.
If she was like the...
Yeah, that sounds like they were trying to create like...
I don't want to say Britney Spears, but...
A Marvel Comics Archer.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. But if they did like the failed pop star that's struggling, you know, like maybe. Maybe Dazzler works in that world. Yeah. Maybe.
So anyway, we'll see what happens to the other two. If they're still announcing stuff for the other ones and they're moving forward, maybe it will just be those two. But I don't know. I like Howard the Duck written by Kevin Smith, like showrunner Kevin Smith. With his brand of humor, you know, I think
his love of comics, like it's,
I really feel like it would be interesting to see him play in that world.
Well, it's also, I mean, they had Howard the Duck in, like, they've introduced him already. Mm-hmm. You know, the MCU has a Howard the Duck by Seth Green. So I don't know why they wouldn't just move forward, not as a movie, but like take that idea and just throw it into the
I'm sure you'd see more of him if like the cartoon became wildly popular. I think this is the place to kind of drum up some business and
I do like that. So why are you letting them lick your face?
Yeah.
Gross.
So we'll see what happens there. But so the other Disney news was Obi-Wan put on hiatus while they reworked the scripts. Allegedly Kathleen Kennedy said that apparently Kathleen Kennedy was unhappy with the scripts, and so like they were all ready to rock and roll.
Uh-oh.
And they like the set, the crew, the cast, I mean it was all in production ready to go, and she called them off and said, we got to retool this.
I mean,
so,
if the scripts are bad,
I mean,
I can't fault somebody for making better scripts.
Yeah, they have a recent history with reshoots, and it's not cheap to do reshoots. So Solo,
Rogue One, too.
Rogue One was a huge
Rogue
one.
Rogue One as well, not Rogue One, too.
Right.
That would be Rogue 12.
Don't really get a sequel to Rogue One,
exactly.
By the way. Spoilers.
So if you think of all those reshoots, I mean, you know, and they even... The Avengers.
I don't know. Look how many Dirty Dozen sequels we got.
I guess that's true. That's fair. Dirty 13, Dirty Baker's Dozen.
Was anyone alive at the end of Dirty Dozen?
Yeah, there were three people alive. Lee Marvin made it. Charles Bronson, of course.
Of course.
And I forget the other one, but yeah. Was it,
well, I hate to spoil Rogue One for you, but the number's much smaller than three.
Well, and they were all like, all the Dirty Dozen like sequels were made for TV movies.
Yeah.
They didn't star the same people, right?
Lee Marvin. And Ernest Borgnine.
Did he?
But he played somebody different.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's weird.
Interesting. Yeah, it was. But and then they turned it into a TV show. They tried to turn it into a TV show when Fox was first starting.
They turned the Dirty Dozen into a TV show?
Yeah, and and one of the soldiers was
Clint Eastwood.
Is his name John Slattery?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
From Mad Men?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Roger?
Roger.
Yeah.
Oh, he's also Howard Stark.
Howard Stark, yeah.
And
yeah.
You know,
sometimes.
This version of...
Sometimes he's Howard Stark.
Yeah, he's like the most recent one, like Endgame.
Yeah, it's the other guy that played Jesse Custer. I don't know what that guy's name was.
I can't
Dominic.
Even... Yeah, I like him. Dominic Cooper?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was just in the first Captain America?
Yeah, he plays young... Yeah.
Oh, because, and Agent Carter.
Yeah, because Cap meets up with him when he goes back or when he's in that time period. Yeah. So, but yeah, I like them both, but yeah.
Yikes.
So, anyway, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm excited that they're not going to try to go ahead with an inferior product.
I'd rather them do that, honestly.
Because, I mean, we've talked about before, Ewan McGregor is one of the best parts of the prequel.
Sure.
He's great in that. He's a great Obi-Wan.
He's a very... few good parts of those prequels.
Yeah, but I mean, he's really good, and I'm excited, and he's a fan favorite, so it's going to be really cool to go back, and Clone Wars is wildly popular, and Obi-Wan's a huge part of that.
I think pumping the brakes on the whole brand is probably a good idea.
I agree with that as well. I mean, they want to keep a certain momentum, but especially with the features, though, I feel like there's just been so much controversy. I mean, we're talking about the last two of three.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, reboot trilogy, and like two of three have been surrounded in controversy.
Right.
Either it's not Star Wars enough or it's two Star Wars or whatever. You know, it's like they really need to calm down. And again, I'm excited for the idea of them moving off of Skywalker stuff.
But yeah.
Anyway, we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully, I mean, it doesn't sound like it's scrapped. They said they're just redoing the script. So hopefully everyone's schedules keep lining up and it all moves forward.
I mean, Ian McGregor doesn't have much going on.
Yeah, I mean, is there going to be a Trainspotting 3?
One can only hope.
But he's in the new Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah, but that's
bad guy.
Done.
Yeah.
You know, that's in the
He's still
the
doing
can.
Stuff, though.
No. I just mean, like, it's not like he's not like Brad Pitt. You know what I mean? Like, he's not in high demand.
That's true.
So
I don't know what he's got going on, honestly. But, I mean, still, if an actor has a schedule lined up and they can pull him
off,
then it's
for
like
sure,
anything
sure.
could happen. Who knows? Yeah. If he gets offered some awesome role and
he's like,
well.
Depends on what happens with Birds of Prey.
He's like, I'm sorry, I'm doing The Odd Couple in Des Moines.
I'll see you later, I guess. Yeah. Sorry, Star Wars.
It's funny like that. I think that's what celebrities used to do before there were things like Wizard World, right?
Oh,
oh, they just show up in a play?
They would do like dinner theater or like I remember the Muni.
Yeah.
They used to you know, like they would do like the Music Man and Harold Hill was played by the dad from Silver Spoons.
Oh, sure.
And
or how about Debbie Reynolds and the Unsinkable Molly Brown?
Right.
As Molly Brown. I mean, she's the star of the movie and she did the play.
Right.
I saw The King and I with Yul Brynner like
you
three
did?
Times at the Muni. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He would tour it all the time. He already knew all the stuff.
I guess that's true.
And he was just like, well, you put together a cast that knows all the other stuff. And then I'll come in and do it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was like, and you, in old, like, SCTV sketches and stuff, you would see him making fun of this, but you would see, like, dinner theater with, like, you know, the people that you used to see as guest stars on Love Boat.
Sure.
Doing, you know.
Yeah.
Something.
It's Charo doing Arsenic and Old Lace, you know.
You gotta work in between. It's like, there's not always a movie project going on, especially back then when not as many movies were made. Now they've got like independent features that you know you
well
see.
Also you're getting paid, you know,
I mean, think about
$15 million to do Birds of Prey. I can sit on that,
but think about it, in the 70s, I mean, you basically had three networks.
Sure.
So if you didn't end up on something on there, what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
And so like
they
would go and do these dinner theaters, and it's, you know, and it's like
it's a big draw.
Yeah, like,
you know, when you, I guess when you say Yul Brynner will be in The King and I, it's like,
well, especially like they weren't doing it in Chicago. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they're doing it in Paducah, Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know, come see Joyce DeWitt and
yeah,
and oh boy, right? Like, you know, but they're like, ooh, yeah. I've seen her
fancy.
On the, I've seen her on the TV. Yeah. I'll go to that
on the light box.
Yeah,
they tell me all kinds of stuff.
So in Birds of Prey, as people have figured out from the trailers, Joker is not in this movie, and it's been confirmed that he's not. And Margot Robbie has to say, according to an interview here, this is posted on Cinema Blend, who I think got it from somewhere else, but she says it was either going to be a complete Harley and Joker story, or Joker has to be out of the picture. I really wanted to see Harley in a girl gang, and I felt there was a huge gap in the market for a girl gang ensemble action film. I felt like no one was doing that, and I wouldn't understand why, especially a comic book movie. So she didn't want any
that's funny
male or Joker interference in their story. So
okay,
I mean, I'm just happy he's not in it.
That movie looks insane, and not in a good way.
Yeah, but give me any reason to not have him in it.
Yeah.
I think that's really code for he's the worst Joker ever.
Like, but I did not watch the Morbius trailer on purpose, and then of course I saw The Gentleman,
yeah,
and it was in front of it,
yeah,
and I was like, I gotta tell you, this doesn't look bad.
I heard Joe Rogan talking about it and hyping it up, like, because the guy played it for him when they were talking, and he's like, oh, this is cool. First of all, I love this. So Joe Rogan, who, you know, he's take him
he
or
is,
leave him.
He
I
is
mean,
who he is.
You, like, yeah,
he
you did, have to. Yeah. Yeah. But he does.
You want to talk about male toxic masculinity.
Well,
there's Joe Rogan.
There's some borderline. Exactly. But Joe Rogan, to me, is in the same class as like a Howard Stern interviewer. Like, Howard Stern, I think, is one of the best interviewers
Rogan,
in the world.
Well, that's because Rogan gets him high as
well, sometimes, but Rogan's up there with their ability.
Rogan's
to,
very good at
he makes you comfortable, yeah, and you're friends, and he's talking to you, and he gets you to talk. So he's talking to the guy, and first of all, they're talking about Jokers, and the guest says, oh, my favorite's Cesar Romero, and he goes through, and he's like, they're all good, and he's listening to Jokers, and he goes, Jared Leto can pound sand. I just loved hearing Joe Rogan, you know, talk about, which I've never heard him talk about Joker, but,
yeah,
you know, my hate for Jared Leto Joker.
It's
and then he
bad.
Goes, yeah, so he says that, but then he watches Morbius, and he's like, all right, this looks awesome.
It
so
does.
Like,
it looks. It, what an interesting movie that could be.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that it. I mean, it's an MCU movie. I mean, if you've got Michael Keaton in the movie.
But do we know he's playing the same character?
I have to believe he's.
I think it's his character's in jail, right?
Yeah.
So it's him being locked up after Spider-Man.
I mean, I agree with you.
It's definitely a cameo.
But if you're
Vulture.
Getting Michael Keaton in a Spider-Man movie,
yeah,
you have to believe that he is going to be the Vulture, that he's Adrian Toomes.
It's definitely that connection.
So
it's Sony, though.
That's the
right,
thing. That's the weird part, right?
I feel like they know that's what you'll think.
Yeah.
Do you think Keaton would do that, though?
No,
I don't
think
Keaton would do
there's
that.
There's no way it's going to be Keaton in a Spider-Man movie after...
And he's Batman.
Like, he's from Gotham City.
IMDb lists Michael Keaton and his character name...
Yeah. As? Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, so that's what I think. So there's another guy in that movie who's not listed as a character who's in the trailer.
Jared Harris?
Is that the old guy?
I don't know, but he's... Jared Harris.
I think he's Norman Osborn.
Oh, he's the guy from he's the guy from Chernobyl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's also in Mad Men.
Yes.
The one who hangs himself.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think
the
he's
the boss, whatever. I can't remember.
I think he's Norman Osborn. And they're not that because the rumor was is that Osborn was going to be like in phase five and six was the bad guy. Hmm. In 5 and 6 in the MCU.
Thank late gave him a break. I'm glad. Like, we saw so much Norman Osborn in those movies.
Yeah,
like,
I think having
give it a break.
Him,
there's
having
other
him,
villains.
Having him, if he's like the benefactor to Michael Morbius, like if he's just in the, you know, like Oscorp is the.
There's a third guy with no name.
Who is it?
Corey Johnson.
Okay. He's
the heir to the Johnsonville Brat fortune.
Yes. Oh, Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was
thinking.
Well,
that's, yeah, they don't talk anymore. He was. Disenfranchised from the whole
thing. It's so I think there is if Feige is involved in any form in this movie, I could see this being a very interesting.
I don't think he is in this
stuff.
Though, yeah, I don't think Feige's in this one.
Okay, then if he's not, and they're still trying to tie it, well, yeah, I mean, if they're gonna start, if they bring in Michael Keaton, I have to believe that Feige was like, go ahead and add him to the.
Yeah,
to the
I'm
mix.
Sure he approved whatever, but like, I don't think create like development.
I don't mean, yeah, I mean like giving them the
Sony
go ahead
stuff
to,
other than Spider-Man because they share.
I
him,
think
like,
they're making you think he's the Vulture, but he's not.
I would. There's no.
If he's not the Vulture,
what, that would be
that is gonna like that,
that would
is
be so dumb to they. It's a
troll
it's
level.
Yes, it would be dumb.
It's, yeah,
it's
yeah.
tagged on at the end of the trailer, uh-huh. like isn't.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton isn't this.
But also you see Spider-Man, like there's a Spider-Man
or he's
poster.
Gonna, or he's going to be some sort of like, he's the same guy, but he's not the same guy.
I could see that.
they're gonna play some multiverse game on you.
Yeah. Oh. Well, so in the trailer too, like Morbius is walking down like a city street, and there's a picture of Spider-Man wearing the Sam Raimi costume.
That's the weird thing.
Not the MCU costume.
That's the really weird thing.
And it's spray painted murderer, like across the picture. And of course we know that the public probably thinks that Spider-Man murdered Mysterio in Far From Home. So I'm just like, there's all kinds of, like,
maybe it is connected.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I could be reading into things.
Right.
I've watched enough wrestling and read enough comic books to look into.
Well, we'll just have to see. It's hard to say. But
why would they use the Sam Raimi costume?
That's the question.
See, that's just,
that could be a wink, though. That could be artwork. Like, it's playing in the universe to where, like, it's, I think it's not a photo, it's a poster. It's like
a poster,
drawn.
Yeah.
It's animated, so like that could be a wink and a nod, but that's how in that universe someone drew.
Or it could be them effing with you.
It could be. It could be. I agree.
No, very true. So anyway, we'll see what ends up happening over there with Morbius and all that. But I just thought it was funny to hear someone else hate on Jared Leto randomly. I'm like, yes, because
he's
terrible.
It's true.
So,
it's true.
Yes, he's not as crazy as that Birds of Prey movie looks. He's not in it. So it does give it a couple extra points in my mind.
Yeah.
Bill Murray is in the new Ghostbusters, confirmed. He says it's a good script and it's all going
to
work. So.
I feel like Bill Murray's at the point where he wouldn't do something.
Yes.
Honestly, it doesn't even matter what they pay him.
No, he doesn't care. Like, he's not going to do something.
Here's $100 million. Like, okay.
But he only does what he wants to do, right. And it has to be good enough for him to be like, this will be fun, or
I'll
whatever.
Show, so I'll show back up.
It's got his stamp of approval. Mean Girls. Did you see it? Mean Girls.
It's becoming
the
musical.
So
good for that.
Mean Girls, the musical based on the movie, is getting a movie based on the musical.
Happened with the producers.
Oh, true.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, true. No, I think Mean Girls.
But many years after. I mean, that musical is pretty new.
It's many, many. I mean,
there was many years between the movie.
Yeah,
it was a really old movie. And
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah,
the thing that
Grease.
I would really like to see. I really want to see the musical because, I mean, I like that movie and I like the Broadway stuff. But that kind of tells me if they're making a movie already that it's probably getting ready to be done on Broadway. They don't usually make movies.
Wait, did you say they're doing the musical of Mean Girls is going to be a movie?
Right.
Yeah, that's what the news is.
So I was confused.
We're talking about properties that began as movies, became plays,
and then went back to movies.
And then they turned the theater adaptation into a movie.
I'm sorry. I thought you were just saying that it was becoming a musical. That's as far as I got in the
It's not just a reboot. It's already a musical, and they're making a movie version of the musical. So I'd like to see it. I guess if they're getting done on Broadway, then they'll be touring soon. I just want to see the actual musical first before I see the movie.
It'll come through.
But usually not until it's done on Broadway. But they want you to buy Broadway tickets. They don't want you to buy a $7 movie ticket. So if they're doing a movie, that means they're kind of winding things down, which means we'll probably get a tour. So that's good.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that one. I've heard it's a really fun show. So the next live action Disney movie, did you guys hear what it is?
Yeah, so stupid.
Bambi.
Yeah. What are you doing?
They are cashing in on properties that people know the name of.
But is Bambi even popular?
I don't think so. It's not one of the more popular. Like Aladdin.
If they blow,
it's historic. People know it.
Yeah,
but I don't think
when was the last time you watched Bambi? Right? No one goes in like, I feel like watching Bambi today.
If they actually blow the brains out of his mother on screen. No, do it on screen.
They will not.
Quentin Tarantino's Bambi.
Yes. Okay.
This is the movie Guy Ritchie should have.
There. Yeah. So. Yeah, the thing is, and I mean, as a Disney fan, obviously I own it on all versions and I've seen it. And yeah, it's a classic. You watch it because it's a classic, one of the early Disney movies. But
it's 70 minutes.
Yeah.
Is it really?
I don't know. Probably most of those things.
Oh,
like,
I guess that's
were pretty
true.
Short.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're just continuing. I mean, they are going to remake every single one until they have to start making their animated remakes,
their
Pixar style CG remakes of the live action.
That's what they should have. They should have done that.
Yeah,
you
I
know
agree.
They should have. They
anything
should've...
with animals where they talk could be CG.
Also, but
damn, hour 10 minutes.
Oh, is
70
it?
Minutes on the nose.
That's pretty good. But like, you've got the voice track.
That's some Rain Man level
that
stuff.
Is,
but
yeah.
That still requires contracts and stuff. And like, the thing is, nobody knows who those voices are. Right? They want to get Nick Jonas as a voice, and they want to get.
Right.
They have to sell to the Instagram, Twitter, TikTok crowd. They've got.
Is Nick Jonas playing Bambi?
Well, he might. Bambi's dad, maybe.
I guess that's true, yeah.
The voice of Bambi went on to become a Marine.
Is that right?
Some of the Marines for like 30 years.
Oh, good for him.
Adam Driver. No.
And he was always horrified when people like connect the dots.
That who he was.
Oh. Because it was harder back then because it like pre-internet.
Yeah, right. Sure.
You know what I mean? And people sometimes you're the voice like, you're the, like, he's this big badass Marine. And they're like, wait, you're the voice of Bambi? Bambi?
That's hilarious. Because like, back then his voice sounded like
oh, yeah. It was tiny, tiny little kid voice.
The live action on Disney News, the live action Pinocchio is moving forward and it's directed by Robert Zemeckis.
That could be interesting. I mean, his track record as of most recent stuff isn't the greatest, but he has an eye for he's always a step ahead as far as technology goes.
He loves his mocap.
And you say what you want about Polar Express because it is a little weird, but he fixed it in A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol is ridiculous looking.
Yeah.
So
Monster House.
Is that him?
That's him.
Yeah, that's a great.
Produced.
Okay. Still, it's part of it.
Gail Kennan directed it.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that could be interesting. That's one of the ones that could work.
Yeah, I hope so.
I could see
as
that.
As long as
they
don't make them look like Polar Express animation.
Well, that I feel like that was so early in the game, yeah,
right?
You
got to
that creepy, uncanny.
I agree that it's a little wonky, but
so
I feel
weird.
Like it's so early.
Yeah.
And then go watch A Christmas Carol. Yeah. Like, that looks way
better.
It's
definitely better. It's definitely better.
It's funny how they like, we have to insert action into the story.
Right. Or even Tintin.
Every time he switches between ghosts.
Yeah.
Tintin, Spielberg.
But it's him. It was Zemeckis as well.
Oh, was Zemeckis involved in that? Okay.
So.
Did anybody watch the Crisis of an Infinite Earths crossover stuff?
No, I was waiting. Is it all done now?
It's done.
I was waiting
finished.
For it so I could binge it. I didn't want to go watch one Arrow
Did you get spoiled?
No.
Well, they've tied a bunch of stuff together.
Well,
that's not spoiling. Like, okay. they've done some stuff.
Okay, good.
It's interesting.
I don't watch all those shows week to week, so I wasn't going to sit there and find Tomorrow Adventure, called.
No, you did the right thing.
I just want to watch them all in a row. Supergirl, like, I don't watch, but I'll watch the crossover
episodes. It was the right move.
Okay, cool.
But it's interesting, like, they...
I'm excited to see Kevin Conroy as Batman.
Okay.
That's why I just...
Okay. So, but they have set up everything going forward, like all of the DC shows going forward.
Oh, good. Revolve around this.
Revolve around
happened.
This.
Cool.
Yeah. So, but then there's the rumor that Brandon Routh might be getting his own Superman show.
Okay.
Like people were all when he shows up.
Yeah.
You're just like, you were pretty good.
It was a great. It was not his fault.
You were just in a bad movie.
Yeah. So, do you think they'd have him play the same Superman?
Yes.
Okay.
He would be. It's
because he's from a different Earth. Like it's from a different universe.
He's the Kingdom Come Superman. So
you think they'd have him play that Superman?
Uh-huh. Yeah, not the
like
exactly.
even his crest is the red and black. It's the Alex Ross design. It's not really a spoiler because you know who that character is. When they find him, he basically says, you know, I was too late to save everyone, and you know he actually drops a line where he's like, I've had experience fighting myself. And of course, we're like, well, that's Superman 3. Like, that's what that is. So, but yeah, so I think that he would be the Kingdom Come Superman on the HBO Max show series. That's the rumor.
The last piece of news that I have is that Uncharted movie, they're still looking for a director. They're courting Ruben Fleischer, as we talked about. He would be the seventh director in the running for this.
And just kill it.
It's been delayed 3 months. So yeah. That's the newest update.
Just kill the movie.
The Travis Knight.
Should have worked.
That was the one right there. Travis Knight, you know, he's got the animation background.
You put it on hold until he's available.
Yeah, they're just, you know? Sony, you know, they're antsy.
Yeah, that they are.
They're antsy.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything else?
No, that was that. I got nothing. Right.
No, well, then I guess we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. Looks like number one movie is one of the movies from last week, Bad Boys for Life.
Well, let's just talk about that again.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Another $30 million, which we knew this was going to have good word of mouth. It was such a fun movie. Go listen to that. We had Colby Mack back on the show to talk about it. But $30 million, a 52% drop. It is up to $116 million in 2 weeks. And it has, before this weekend's totals are updated, it has like $40 million overseas. So not sure if it's completely rolled out there yet. But they're making like $150 million so far. So.
Did it have a budget on it? Or does that, they don't have
it
that
was
anymore?
$90 million.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
Yeah.
So, all right, good for them.
Yeah, yeah. In a couple weeks. It's a fun movie. I mean, we talked about action movies and why we think we'd like to see more of this type. So go listen to that episode. But definitely go check out the movie. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get to it.
Number two, 1917. So obviously there's a lot
of... Oscar bump.
Yeah, there's a lot of awards consideration. Like 1917.
I think it's also it appeals to an older demo, which is always a late
arriving crowd.
Yeah. But it is winning directing awards and some picture awards at a lot of the critics associations and the big award shows that are happening right now. And it is obviously nominated for a lot of Oscars. So it's getting a nice bump there after its release of the new year here.
So Sam Mendes made the right call of not doing the next James Bond
yes,
movie.
Yes, I think he's a lock. I mean, he just won Directors Guild of America. I think he'll win Best Director.
Yeah, but, yeah. It's a ridiculous... That's a
movie where the director deserves some freaking props. Yeah. I mean, Roger Deakins, cinematographer, I wouldn't be surprised if he got it again for that, but Mendes for director to put that together and make it work. Yeah, he's pretty much all but a lock for best director.
Tarantino's like son of a
right. So 14.3 million is.
But I will say the Academy loves their make good awards.
That's true.
Well, that's why I think they'll win picture. Yeah. I think Hollywood will get picture.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Mendes will get director. People are right now are talking about because Parasite has won a lot of awards at the shows and 1917 starting to win a lot of awards. So people think that. The dark horse is going to be Parasite, but 1917 they've put to the front runner. But I just think Tarantino, he's made so many great films. He's been around forever. Hollywood was a success and a really good movie. And it's about Hollywood. I think people are counting it out. And
has he ever been nominated for Best Picture before?
I think so.
Was Pulp Fiction? I think
That's what I thought. Yeah.
But he hasn't won. It hasn't won, I don't think.
Has he been nominated for director before? I guess with Pulp Fiction as well?
I'm sure he's been nominated for that. So anyway, I think it's one of those kind of, it's got all the right elements. So people are like, oh, 1917 or Parasite. And I could be wrong, but I think Hollywood is, they're forgetting about it. Yeah. I think it's just such a shoo-in.
It's crazy. So
he won for screenplay.
That doesn't surprise me.
Twice. Yeah. For Pulp Fiction and Django Unchained.
Yeah. Django got nominated, didn't it?
I don't know about that.
I don't think
not
so.
Not for picture.
He was nominated for Best Director for Inglourious Basterds.
Interesting.
And he was nominated for Best Director for Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
And Christoph Waltz won twice.
Twice.
He won those two in a row. Bastards and Django. He's Best Supporting Actor. So it definitely has other accolades, but I think this will be his first Best Picture.
So we
win.
Saw, on my sabbatical last week. We hit up the Alamo Draft House.
Yeah, those are cool.
Holy, but we saw Jojo Rabbit, and I doubt that's even in the top whatever. Holy Christ.
Yeah.
Like, what? Did you see it?
Yeah.
What a movie.
Yeah.
Like, that was unbelievable. But just to, like, but they, so they were doing, like, they would show, like, your big stuff at night, but during the day, they were showing all of the Oscar stuff. Like every theater was doing 1917,
cool.
Jojo Rabbit, Parasite. Once
I think AMC is getting ready to put all the Best Picture nominees, which there are, eight or nine or something?
But not the Netflix stuff.
Oh, they're not putting Netflix back?
Nope. No theater, at least in St. Louis, are running the Netflix movies.
Did you hear that Scorsese and Spielberg are going to produce a Netflix movie?
Of course they are. Of course they are.
After this whole debacle and after Spielberg's comments, working on a Netflix.
It'd be
really funny if it was like a Batman movie.
It'd be so good. So great.
No, it has to be a Marvel movie specifically. It has to be a Marvel
Netflix.
No,
it needs to be Batman because you'd be like, no, I just meant Marvel.
Yeah,
Marvel sucks. I don't like Marvel.
We're gonna produce the Blue Beetle movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have an Alamo Draft House in your town, obviously you've been there. We're getting one here. Next summer?
Oh, I mean, hopefully. I thought it was supposed to be open by now. They've talked about it for years.
Yeah, but they're building it.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
The sign's up.
It's happening.
It's down by the IKEA.
Yes, it is, which is really close
to
me.
Yeah, too far for me to go to a movie. But
it's not too far. It's like, that's closer than any theater.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And not saying I'll never go there, but like when I'm like, oh, I got to work in a movie,
it's
I'll
a dope.
It
was a dope theater. Like they played his short shorts before the movie.
Who wore them?
Taika.
Oh
yeah,
Taika Waititi. Okay.
Yeah, but like anything that he had in those like 15-minute film fests.
Oh, nice!
They played all of that beforehand.
Alamo Draft House is a film
it
lovers
is, that
theater.
Is, I
like
I,
it's.
Leanne was like, "This is your jam."
This
I
is
said,
a,
oh, this is my yeah, jam. Like this is what I'm talking about.
And the cool thing, if you've never been or you don't have one yet, hopefully everyone will eventually get one. They're great, and they no cell phone policy. Your phone goes off, they kick you out. So
they you get one warning.
You do get a warning.
That's
now?
What the thing said.
You I get, thought their get, whole thing. Okay.
No, yeah, the whole thing at the beginning said you get one warning and then you're gone.
It used to be. Remember, it used to be where it was a nope. that's say they probably were losing business. Yeah. Like we talked about with those kind of warnings, but it used to be you couldn't do a cell phone, you know, no talking isn't tolerated, none of that. But then they have food, they have drinks, and they really
I got a Royale with cheese.
Nice.
Yeah,
they have big, you know, good screens and good sound. They're really for people that love film. It's the place to go.
It is very. I wish that the one that I went to, I wish the seats were a little bigger.
Yeah,
like they're real tight.
Okay,
but other than that, like it was a great experience. Like
you might have been at this point in a smaller theater.
I was
too,
definitely a smaller theater.
I saw Wonder Woman at Alamo, the you know around the release, and it was in a big theater with you know pretty big seats and nice counter for your food in front of you and stuff. Yep. It's really
It was a good. It's if you have the opportunity, go do that. But because we're talking about the Oscar stuff, if you can go see Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Like it was incredible. Like it was, it's insane that that's the same guy that's Thor.
Taika Waititi is really smart. If you know his humor and you've watched his you know early work and his comedy and you understand that he's got such a smart mind and his comedy is so like that next level.
Yeah.
To where Jojo Rabbit, I mean, they're dealing with some serious subject matter.
He plays Hitler.
Yes, but you're dealing with serious subject matter. You're talking. Your main character is a Nazi, like a little boy that's been indoctrinated.
Yes.
But the whole movie is about you know. Overcoming like what you've been born into and finding you know like making decisions for yourself and about family and friends and all that stuff, and he's just so smart and clever with the comedy.
And it's very funny.
Yeah,
like it's deceptively funny.
Yeah,
and he hits you with the funny at the right time when you need it to be a little bit funny, and then
it gets serious.
It stops being funny like the last 20 minutes, 15 minutes, like it's no longer funny.
But it needs to be.
Agree.
Because the
when you get hit with the what's going on.
Because the problem is, or could have been, he makes Hitler so likable.
Right.
Right. And
right.
So you need that kind of veer back to
when
to reality.
He his Hitler is scary.
Yeah.
Like when that switch flips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I was like,
it's
good
that
Lord.
They did it because he couldn't, it can't all be yuck. It's
right.
About, you know,
they actually had a thing in the beginning where they talked about comedic portrayals of like they had a 10 minute video.
Yeah. Before, since Chaplin.
Yeah. Sure. That's they talk about all of the comedic interpretations of Hitler, which is like, again, what I love about this. The Draft House is they put this together for the Draft
it's
House.
It's a very like curated.
Yeah. And it was very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, again, go check that one out. So, coming in, 1917 is at $102 million domestic before the totals are in. And overseas, it has over $60 million. So, budget. Do they have budget on here? I do not have a budget on my end. So, I'm not sure what 1917 was. But over 160 plus is pretty good. It just went wide release at the beginning of this month.
Yeah,
so.
It's a $90 million
budget. Oh, it is 90? Okay, yeah. It's a great looking movie. So, they're approaching double their budget probably after this weekend. So, I'd say they're doing pretty well. And if it wins these Oscars, you know, it's going to just give it more buzz. They'll re-release it or, you know, home video will be huge. So people are going to keep seeing this thing. Number three, Doolittle, the other movie from last week.
I haven't listened to it yet, but I feel like I don't need to. Like, I just hear you guys tear it apart.
You may want to listen to it. So Doolittle made $13 million, a 40% drop. I mean, it is the kids movie that's out and everyone's already seen Jumanji, obviously. So
that Iron Man money is looking better and better.
Yeah. Well, he's got it. I mean,
they didn't take it away.
I guess that's true.
Him and his wife are a producer on this movie. So I'd like to know how much Iron Man money got put into this movie. Anyway.
But it was backed by Universal. Is he really putting his own money into it, or is he just in charge of?
I think they probably put some money into it because they want that return. I mean, if it was successful, I feel like they did, but we'll see. I mean, he probably didn't take a huge paycheck up front. You know, he probably got points on it, and so
yeah, that could be.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not quite sure it's going to work out too well in his favor. But anyway, it is the kids' movie out. It's a 40% drop. It puts it at $45 million on a $6 trillion.
It
has
like 200.
Oh my god!
Was
it
approaching
really?
200 million? Yeah, because of all the reshoots and you know
good
Chris McKay
Lord.
From Lego Batman had to come in and try to clean it up.
Yeah, you mean Nightwing's Chris McKay? That's never gonna happen.
Oh, so sad. But so that one is, go listen to the episode. That's all I can say on that one. Number four, the movie of the week, The Gentlemen, opened at $10.9 million domestically. It's been out in the UK for a while, so the Box Office Mojo was updating, and it still is, so unfortunately I don't have the overseas on that, but it's already out over there. So we'll have to say next week what the totals are going to be. But $10.9 million opening, this is definitely more of a down and dirty crime movie, like, you know, his older stuff. This isn't.
It's interesting when you, because he hasn't done one of these without Matthew Vaughn.
Right.
So this is the first one he's done without. And there are some issues with it, but it's like the content, I think, is what I was looking for. Right. But there are some other issues, like as far as like shooting it and things like that, that are a little wonky.
And we'll get into that next episode. Yeah. So, but this is the return of Guy Ritchie, question mark. So stay tuned for that one. Number five, Jumanji, The Next Level, still making money. $7.1 million in week seven.
We should also give a shout out, you know, our condolences to The Rock, who lost his father this past week.
Oh, we called him and talked to him last episode.
Oh,
I guess you weren't on it.
I wasn't here.
We did it on the Doolittle one.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So yeah.
But
he
knows. You know, it's tough. Like that's
sad.
That's
yeah.
Especially with a guy that I don't think anybody knew he was sick. I don't think it was very. It felt like it was very sudden.
Yeah. I didn't hear anything about it, but I don't have my ear to
the first African American to win the WWF tag team titles.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So condolences again to Rock, and call us later if you want to chat. anytime. 7.1 million though, 27% drop brings it to $282 million domestic. International, do you know what it is overseas, Joe?
Before this weekend's totals. Yeah. I'm gonna say $925 million.
That would be pretty amazing. Not quite. It's at four. It made $438 million, bringing the worldwide total to $715 million. Again, that's before these finalized weekend numbers. So it's probably closer to $725 million, $730 million at this point.
Good for him.
So that's a lot
of
money.
That's what he needs is another hit.
Well, he's still doing pretty well. We'll see how Jungle Cruise does.
Bad Boys 4.1 for life. We're going to throw The Rock in there.
Yeah. Just Kevin Hart, probably, because he kind of comes along as a new package.
It's a twofer.
Yeah. Buy a Rock, you get Kevin Hart for free. So, and he just tips him out.
Yeah, here you go. Here's a Kevin Hart over here.
Number six, The Turning, the other new movie of the week that we aren't discussing, but I've heard is a little horrendous.
In a piece of garbage kind of way?
Horrendous.
Oh, really?
Horrendous.
Is this the Finn Wolfhard movie?
Yes.
Oh,
so you saw it, Tom?
Yeah.
And?
It's awful.
I heard that it is not great, and then the ending makes it even way more not great.
Well, the ending is an ending in that the movie ceased. And then and then credits rolled.
Okay.
But
I meant ending in quotes.
Right.
I haven't seen it, but I heard everyone is just like, it just ends.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, and it's not like an Inception top spinning
ending.
I think
they're trying
like,
to be that.
Oh.
It's,
but not from
who's
this.
Is this the gal from Terminator?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mackenzie
she's
Davis.
From Black Mirror, too.
Oh, yeah.
And from Tully.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
she's
that's
Tully.
Right. She's Tully. Yeah.
But, but yeah,
which is a great movie. Mm-hmm. Tully's
you can
so good.
You can tell that if you were to buy the Blu-ray, God only knows why, but there's going to be like
six endings,
and 45 deleted scenes. Like you can tell that they were just like, let's try this, let's try that.
That's a shame. Like that kid, I like Finn Wolfhard.
Not in this. You won't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like
he's bad.
Is he real bad?
He's bad. Like you know how many times we'll see a movie and we're like the movie's bad, but it's not that guy's fault.
It is.
I'm not saying it's his fault, but he ain't good.
Man.
Well, guess who just earned another one of those coveted F Cinema scores?
Oh, The Turning. Yeah.
So The Turning now has joined the club of like what the 18 movies that like it F is hard because you're giving people a free movie. They probably want to see like they're probably
they see it for free with the cinema score.
Yeah. I think so.
I guess some they don't, but some are screenings.
Either they just stood outside.
That's true. Some I feel like they
did that with Arrival.
Yeah. Sometimes they are just out of your theater that you pay for, but I thought they do it at screenings too. But you know, it's not critics though is my point. You know,
audience scores
are usually way more nice than a critic score, and so you expect like an F is hard to do. If you get people that are paying their money, they want to see it, and they're not reviewing it, and they walk out and they're
you self-selected people that are already inclined to like.
That's true. That's a good point.
Directed this? Does it say?
Oh.
Apparently, no one.
Well, that's I'm just trying. Like,
Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, it's not a Blumhouse flick, right?
God no.
Okay. It's the Floria Sigismundi.
Okie dokie.
And that's, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that 100% correct. Please don't look it up or challenge me.
Don't at me.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's a shame. Like the concept, they're demon kids, right? Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
So,
I feel like we can spoil this one because it's so bad.
But it made $7 million, which is just like, if it kept the budget low.
It's I
don't think they did. It began,
you don't think
I think
so?
It was like a $15 to $18 million budget.
Well, then,
it began life as a Spielberg movie.
It did?
Oh.
This was going to... Spielberg was... I don't know if he was going to direct, but he began... He was producing it. I think the reason this movie got made is momentum. Like they,
oh, you had Spielberg behind it?
They had already dumped like $5 to $6 million into it in pre-production, and it was just kind of like, well, sunk cost. Let's keep...
And if, and
forward.
If there's, yeah. I mean, there's a reason if Spielberg's not attached to it anymore,
right?
Like, that's it.
But I think they were probably like,
"Has he ever done a horror movie?
Poltergeist."
Yeah, I was gonna say Poltergeist. Yeah.
I mean, fair enough.
But
he didn't direct. Well, okay.
Well,
yeah.
Poltergeist.
Yeah, I mean,
Poltergeist.
And Jaws. Jaws is definitely
Jaws
a horror.
Is horror.
Movie.
Yeah.
Okay. But like a legitimate, where he's like, "This is a horror movie."
Legitimate or a legitimate one?
Legitimate. Isn't that what I just said?
You said you always say legitimate.
Legitimate. How else would you say
it's legitimate?
There's no N.
You always say meant.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's legitimate.
Oh. All right. Well, either way. Like, has he ever actually said...
It's your Josh Brolin.
It is my Josh
it
Brolin,
is.
Yeah.
I usually don't say anything because I know, but I just thought I'd...
Has he ever done one that he has said is an actual... Because Jaws wasn't a horror movie.
Schindler's List?
That is definitely a horror movie.
He did that... what's the Midnight Special? Or what's one of the... He did one of those type of movies, didn't he?
He like, did the racing movie?
Or was
the
that... That
movie?
Was JJ, I guess. He produced it.
Midnight Special.
Midnight I don't know what you're talking about.
Isn't that? Was it Midnight Special? What was the one with the kids and Kyle Chandler? Which what's that one?
Oh,
called?
Super 8.
Super 8.
Super 8. Sorry.
That's a monster movie though.
Okay, but he produced that one.
I like that movie a lot. Yeah.
That was JJ because you know JJ is a Spielberg guy
for sure.
He directed a segment in the Twilight Zone movie.
I'll give you that there one, you
but
that's fair.
But the least scary. Yeah.
Which one was it?
He directed the one where all the old people are playing Kick the Can.
Oh yeah, okay.
So
he didn't direct one where people die.
No, that was. I mean, in real
Joe
life,
Dante
Duel.
Who?
Duel. I'll give you Duel. No,
it's not really a horror movie, but
I count
it was released theatrically in Europe.
I think that I could. I mean, that was during like the car horror.
Yeah.
Christine and
I mean, he was a producer on Gremlins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean in the Twilight Zone, the people actually died?
Yeah.
Or like died on screen?
No. And the behind
that was John Landis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Landis. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
Vic Morrow is a. Head over heels for that whole thing.
So the turning, yeah, turn away apparently from the box office.
He was also a producer on Arachnophobia.
I've never seen that.
Interesting. Jeff Daniels.
I am
fighting spiders.
Terrified of spiders.
Hmm. Well, that is a horror movie then.
You weren't kidding.
So coming in at number 7, we've got Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. 5.3 million, a 36% drop. It just passed the $500 million mark domestically, and I don't know, it did finally cross the billion a week ago or so. It has made 535 before the totals are in here, so we're up just a little bit over a billion worldwide, so they're making money. I think they should be happy with it, especially with all the controversy and stuff, and
yeah,
like Joe said, give it a breather, give it a little bit of time to breathe and work on your TV stuff. Number 8, Little Women with 4.5 million, a 29% drop. That thing's almost up to 100 million domestic. Like for a little movie like that, that's awesome.
See, but if it had been Little Men,
it
would have been $140 million
opening weekend,
because it makes 70 cents on the dollar.
No, totally. I get it.
So it's up over 45 million overseas. So we're talking about like 140 to 145 after this weekend on a $40 million budget. That's
so
a win.
Here's a question.
Yes.
Will they make more?
All the sequels?
How many sequels are there?
There are two books.
Two books after the first one?
And there's Little Men.
There's
I wouldn't do that.
There's Little Men and Joe's Boys.
Those are the sequels to Little Women?
I mean...
There were three books.
I mean, I would...
Actually, the first book that you think of as a book
is
actually two books.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it?
Yeah, because that's why you have, like, when they're as kids, they originally put out the version, like, with them as kids... And then
he doesn't.
The
he
second
doesn't.
Part where
I know
adults.
I know that.
You do?
Yeah.
The second
you
part.
You know Little Women?
I mean,
didn't
I, don't,
see
I,
you.
Don't, I don't know the story, but I know that it was two books.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then the second part where they're grown-ups now or young adults. Like,
did they do that?
That was a second book.
So they Stephen King itted it.
Yes. I was going to say, think about It, where they're adults and they're kids, like two parts. Yeah.
But
I've
but
never
that
seen
that book came out all at once, where the book originally, she wrote the first part. And then it was a big hit, and they wrote a second one, and then
the movies
after a few years they just
together.
Then after a few years they bundled that as to one book.
Got it.
But then there are two more after that.
So. I mean, maybe.
I was going to say.
I mean, if they put the same like same creative people
same
behind
cast
it
and get Greta same... Gerwig. I mean, because they're it's that team that, you know, Greta Gerwig is a great writer and she's proven to be a great director with these two features she's done like by herself. And the cast was great. I really think you have to keep them consistent. Don't make it a new director and recast people.
Get Michael Bay to do Little Men or Little
Get the
Boys.
Magic. Keep the magic of this creative team. And I think that
isn't Little Men just The Outsiders?
Could be.
Just the same thing.
Sounds similar, yeah.
But so, like,
or Stand By Me.
Is this the most successful version of Little Women?
I have to believe.
Because
there was Winona Ryder one from the 90s. 94.
Yeah, that made like $50 million.
In 94, though.
It was probably okay, I guess. Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like the posh British aesthetic is more acceptable now.
Yeah,
like,
well,
people
not
are
British, though, you know that, right?
Well, I mean, you know what I mean, like the Victorian, I don't even, I know it's not Victorian either,
but it does,
but like,
have that vibe. I know,
yes,
you're saying that, yeah.
Is more in the cultural zeitgeist right now,
yeah,
with Downton Abbey and all that other stuff. So
I
feel,
I
like,
just feel like I hear people talk about this movie way more than they talked about that one when it
I
came
agree
out. It makes me wonder if
this has the cast. I mean,
and they've, well, that was a great cast at the time.
Who was it? It was Winona Ryder. Is honestly the only one I can remember.
But yeah, I can't remember other than Winona Ryder. But I mean, but these were the it people. Florence Pugh.
Yeah, but
Saoirse Ronan.
Winona Ryder, Gabriel Byrne, Kirsten Dunst, Claire Danes, Christian Bale, Eric Stoltz.
Yeah, that's a heavy hitters cast.
Mary Wicks.
I don't know who that is.
She's a character actress. Oh, okay. I've just seen a lot of things. She was in White Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
She was the kind of zany one that worked at the hotel behind the counter.
Mm. Oh.
So, yeah. Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
So, like,
94 Susan Sarandon is legit.
In 94, this cast is baller,
yeah,
man.
That's
pretty
true.
Good. I mean,
pretty good. In 1994, who would you put in this movie that isn't in this movie?
But Christian Bale and Kirsten
Neve
Dunst
Campbell
were pretty young. I mean, they're not what they're considered today.
No, Kirsten Dunst is...
Kirsten Dunst would have been...
94, I mean, Kirsten Dunst?
That's post Interview with a Vampire.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, but go on. I mean, that's, yeah, but she wasn't the name. She wasn't as popular as she, you know, became in the late 90s, early 2000s.
That's because she kissed Spider-Man in the rain.
Yeah, I don't, Kirsten Dunst in 94 and Christian Bale coming off Newsies, they were not the same names.
Yeah,
as,
but Winona Ryder and Susan Sarandon and Gabriel Byrne.
Yeah,
and
there's some names.
And
totally.
Claire Danes.
In retrospect, but Romeo and Juliet wasn't until, what, 95?
97?
Okay, so she wasn't that yet, and that's what boosted her popularity.
No, her popularity was
the TV show.
Okay, but
My so-called life,
love Leonardo DiCaprio and like Romeo and Juliet was a huge at that
DiCaprio
time
was already. I respectfully disagree. DiCaprio was already like he was on the rise. Like he was already that. Like he was already the Hollywood heartthrob at Romeo and Juliet. Like that whole the whole.
I still really think it helped. I just remember
I'm not
Romeo
saying it didn't
Juliet
help, but
really
I, that, he was all when they cast him. That he was already. Mm. That's post Titanic. Like that's
no, it's not.
What? Romeo and Juliet's pre Titanic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Titanic's 97.
So Romeo and Juliet was what 95?
90s.
No, I was in high school, so it had to be 96.
96, I think.
Yeah. So Titanic was the
was
next
coming
year.
Off of that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that but really was
Titanic is the one that is like.
But I just think we're looking at it with you know, we know the history of these people, and I'm not saying they're not names, but that cast sounds more impressive because we know everything they've done since. But like when you talk about, you know, Florence Pugh is like right now one of the hottest.
I think
up
this.
And
I don't think the average film goer knows two shits about Florence Pugh.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't know.
Really?
I guess that's
she was in what? Midsommar.
Okay, so
who saw that besides
film nerds?
She was
in Wrestling with My Family.
Yeah,
or
who saw that?
Like, which made like $30 million.
As great as she was in that, like,
yeah,
that didn't. I mean, and Midsommar. I agree. Like Midsommar got her
those
like the critics cred.
Right,
but the people that are seeing
nobody has ever said, "Oh, look, the new Florence Pugh movie."
But,
is out.
But you're not. But the people that are fans of Timothy Chalamet and Florence Pugh, you have to understand. Like the young kids, they love these people. They are obsessed with them. They are the Tiger Beat Leonardo DiCaprio crowd of this generation. Like,
bring that magazine.
Emma
back.
Watson coming off of Harry Potter and Beauty and the Beast.
Emma Watson, yes, absolutely.
I think Florence Pugh, for people that know, Timothy Chalamet is totally the new heartthrob of Timothy Chalamet is the Leonardo DiCaprio of this generation.
You just mean
for the young.
You don't mean like on talent level.
I think he's very talented, but he's what the young girls.
I think he's like the Jonathan Taylor Thomas of this.
Yeah,
generation.
But Leo was kind of the same. Yeah, but I'm just saying this cast is stacked.
Maybe he's the Devon Sawa.
Saoirse Ronan. I mean, as far as talent goes,
Saoirse Ronan's legit. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, and Greta Gerwig, you know, coming off Lady Bird, and
What's Timothy Chalamet been in that like that is going to excite the box office?
Average movie goer.
It's not the average moviegoer, but it's the fans. Like, these are the movies that will show up and see the movie 12 times in theaters. It's just, that's the crowd that these
people are still talking about. A Rainy Day in New York, man. Like, what? I mean, like, I'm just looking at his movies and I'm just like,
wasn't he in that really bad
Call Me By Your Name?
And I've heard of like two of these movies.
Wasn't he in that really bad Netflix movie?
I don't know that it was really bad, but he was in The King. He was in Call Me By Your Name, which is really what solidified his status.
And critically,
yeah,
but not from a box office standpoint.
I don't think he's
$40 million.
Right, but the people love these actors.
There are people who love these actors.
But there are
people who love Zac Efron and never went to go see that Best Friends movie.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
You know, like that's... And granted, that was a piece of garbage,
yeah,
you know, like that. But like that's.
But I think it's just.
Kirsten Dunst in 94 coming off Interview with the Vampire is more exciting to the average film goer than Timothy Chalamet coming off the gay romantic comedy that played in three theaters nationwide.
I also think 94 Claire Danes. I think she's doing that show. I think that show
is...
Yeah,
she would have been doing My So-Called Life. Which that was, like... I mean, it was never a huge hit, but that was a show that people had a deep passion for.
Big time.
And it was also back when there were four networks and no streaming.
Was that an ABC show?
It was an ABC show. So, like, a failed show back then was probably still getting 20, 30 million viewers.
There's nothing else to watch. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, totally. I never knew Claire Danes before Romeo and Juliet. But,
really? Oh,
yeah. My So-Called Life. I mean, like, when that got canceled, people pooped themselves.
Really?
Then, like, MTV picked it up and started showing
never
it.
Even,
do you,
never
do you remember
it.
How passionate people were for Dawson's Creek and Felicity?
Yeah.
That My So-Called Life started
that. Because there was nothing else on TV like it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It was definitely.
It
was. I mean, it's got Jared Leto in it.
I was like, that's where Jared Leto came from.
I don't know. I might have skipped that.
I had a crush on the best friend on that show.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jared Leto.
No. Like the gal who was like the best friend who couldn't get it together, no matter how. Oh, man. Yeah.
So coming in at number 9, we've got Just Mercy with $3.9 million. A 32% drop puts that at $26.9 million domestic. And rounding out the top 10, narrowly beating out Frozen 2, which to its own credit made over $1 billion. They're doing just fine. But Knives Out with $3.3 million, a 23% drop in week 9, $150 million. And let's see, overseas, it's almost at $150. So we're talking about... approaching $300 million on a $40 million budget for Knives Out. An original property... Not a reboot, not a remake.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Completely
original.
I have sent
creation.
So many people to this movie.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I will say this, every one of them
loves it.
Every one of them not only loved it, but like reached out to thank me for sending them
to this movie. There is nothing to pick apart in the movie.
I have heard, you know how many people I've heard talk badly about this movie after they've seen it?
That one critic that always talks badly about movies?
Zero.
Yeah.
No, I just...
Even that guy's like... No, I got
Armin White?
I got, yeah.
He's like, well, crap. I mean, I just can't. Like,
well, he made a really bad Star Wars movie one time.
So, yeah, it's without a doubt. I mean, it's such a fun movie. I think it's one of the most fun movies and clever movies of 2019.
Bring that cast back as all different characters.
I think
that's what I say, too.
Keep Daniel Craig as Daniel Craig.
Like a repertory company. Yep.
Benoit Blanc.
Benoit Blanc.
It's great. So that's the box office.
Oh, well, thank you, Kevin.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, I guess for this one, let's go around the table. I've had a
fever kick back
I
in.
I had 100.
Easy for you to say.
Did I say that?
You sure it didn't go up over 104.9?
Yeah. So, let's all say where to find ourselves.
This is Joe. You can
simultaneously.
This is Kevin.
Joe,
you can follow
me
on Twitter at Joe
Rod
Harbor.
Yes, 21.
Starting with
Family Arena.
Did you
say Family Arena?
What? I'm telling you, the fever, man.
You might have transposed some numbers. I think you got a 109.4.
Yeah, maybe.
St. Louis's New Rock Alternative, 104.9.
105.7.
I know, but I was thinking of like a temperature that wouldn't kill you.
Oh, I see. Well, so that was the difference?
105.7 would be like, oh, no, we lost Tom. Like, that's it. His brain has been boiled to goop.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
So
for a 105-degree fever. Yeah.
So also don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and check out our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. That's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle The Gentlemen. Until then, you've been warned.
I'm going to tell you a story about your boss and the man who's out to destroy him.
Well, this is not ideal.
I forgot to wash my hands.
The Gentlemen, rated R.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.